appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. If you know that God is not dead and that he is alive, can we give Jesus Christ a great big round of applause today? Amen, amen. I am so excited that I know for a fact that Jesus Christ is not dead, that God is not dead, that he is alive. Amen? Well, for the sake of time, if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the 18th verse, and when you have it, say amen. And as you're turning there, I want to first of all say I want to give thanks and all glory and honor to God for this opportunity to stand before you today and to proclaim God's word. And so I just want to thank you guys, and I want to give thanks to the pastor of this house, to all of the fine faculty here from all of these distinguished schools. And so I just want to say that I am humbled and I am honored to be standing here before you on today. All right? All right. Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, and it read as such. It says, "Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity to stand here and proclaim your word. I ask you, God, that I decrease, and I ask you, God, that you increase, that all of you come through, and none of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. In having to purchase two automobiles recently for my two sons, one 18 and one 19, or soon to be 19, I found myself in the car business. I say in the car business because I bought and sold so many cars here in the last couple of months. I feel like Clay Cooley himself. Come see me. I feel like Clay Cooley. And I found out something very interesting about the car industry, that cars these days have changed. It's not like in 1982 when I got my first car as a senior in high school. Cars now, what used to be standard, is now options. And so what I found is that when I got my first car, I used to have to roll my window down just like this. I know some of you probably too young to understand this, but yes, we did. Used to have to roll our windows down like this. And then some cars didn't even come with power steering. Some cars, you had to turn it. I mean, it was an act of exercise to turn them. And then, lo and behold, don't have a car without power brakes. Sometimes you had to put both feet on the brakes to just get the car to stop. But I found that some things are standard and some things are optional. And so on a car, all cars come with wheels, but chrome wheels are optional. All cars come with a roof, but a sunroof is optional. And so what I come to tell you today, for the disciple of Jesus Christ, for the visual, verbal follower of Jesus Christ, can I suggest to you today that fishing for people, that witnessing and evangelizing is not optional, that is standard. Can I tell you today that here's my big idea, this is all I came to tell you and I'm going to take my seat, is that if we're not fishing for people, we're really not following Jesus Christ. That's all I came to tell you. And if you give me about 10 minutes, I'm going to explain it, illustrate it, and sit down, all right? In Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus Christ walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he comes upon these two brothers. He comes upon Peter and Andrew first, and he says something emphatic to Peter and Andrew. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And this word "follow" in its original language actually means to come after me. And so Jesus is telling them to come after me, to follow me. And so here's what I come to tell you today, that Jesus is not, that it's not optional. He didn't suggest it to them. He commanded that they follow him. And so I want to remind us today, I want to remind some and challenge others that following Jesus Christ is not an option, it's standard. It's foundational. It is part of being a believer in Jesus Christ. It's a command. But not only is it a command, but this word fisherman, if you look at it in the context of the times, this word fisherman is really not generic. It's not specific to Jesus Christ. Jesus is not using some way out term that they didn't understand, because Peter and Andrew were fishermen. But also during that time, during that time, Greek and Roman philosophers would call people that were skilled at catching others and persuading others, they would call them fishermen. And so Jesus is using two very distinct terms here. He's saying follow and fish. Follow and fish. But here's what I want to tell you today, that it's not only a command, but it's a gracious invitation. It's a gracious invitation. Jesus is inviting these disciples into a life that is like a life none other. Jesus is inviting these disciples to come in and follow him. He's inviting them to walk in his footsteps. But here's the good thing. When you dive into this text and you understand this text, Jesus has really inverted the process. Because when known teachers and great teachers, it was typical for the disciple or the would-be disciple to ask the teacher if they could follow them. But Jesus inverts the process, and isn't that just like Jesus Christ to take a process and turn it upside down and invert the process? He doesn't wait for us to ask him, he asks us. He says, come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It's a gracious invitation. But then not only is it a gracious invitation, it's also privileged participation. These disciples are having, they get the privilege to participate in what Jesus Christ is up to. They're going to get the privilege of a lifetime. They're going to get the privilege to participate in the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Okay, I see that you don't get it. Let me see if I can illustrate it like this. It's like in the Old Testament. Moses has the Red Sea in front of him. He has Pharaoh's army in behind him. God asked Moses, he says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And he had his rod. He told him to stretch out his rod. And he opened the Red Sea. God didn't need Moses to part the Red Sea. He could have parted the Red Sea without Moses. But he had the privilege of participating in what God was up to. And so that's what I want to suggest to you today, is that when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you get the privilege to be involved in what God is up to. It's like this in the New Testament, because I know some of us these days, if it's not in the New Testament, for some reason, we want to just forget everything in the Old Testament. So for you New Testament folk, when Jesus performs his first miracle, he turns water into wine. He told the men, he said, go get some water pots and fill them with water. Jesus' first miracle. He didn't need them to turn water into wine. He could have turned it into wine before they went and got it from wherever they got it from. He could have put the wine in the pots and told them to go get the pots that's filled with wine. But they had the privilege of participating in what God was up to. It's like this. It's like Lazarus. Lazarus was in the grave. And when Jesus finally shows up on the scene, days later, he told him, he says, roll the stone away. And he says, and he calls for him. He says, come forth, Lazarus. And Lazarus comes forth. And then he tells him, unwrap it. He didn't need them for that. He could have rolled the stone away himself, just like he did at his time. He rolled the stone away. He didn't need them. But we get the opportunity to participate in the miracle working power of what God is up to. So can I suggest to you today that not only is fishing for people and following Jesus a gracious invitation, but it's also a privileged participation. I know what some of you are saying. I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, man, I've studied in school. I know how to exegete a text, and man, I can expound on scripture, and I can parse verbs and all that, but man, it's just something about I'm not living right. I mean, yeah, I got it in my head, but I'm just not living right. I have some issues. I'm still not all that God has called me to be. Can I tell you something? The text says, follow me, and he says, I will make you fishers of men. So here's what one famous preacher says. He says that if he's going to make you, you don't have to already be what God is going to cause you to be. I'll let that sink in just for a second, because some of us, it holds us up because we don't feel like we are in a perfect place. We don't feel like we know everything. But can I tell you today, you don't have to wait until you're perfect to start fishing and to start finding for Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait to start telling people about how good God is. I like what Kyle Eidelman says in his book, Not a Fan. Kyle Eidelman says that Jesus, let me make sure I get this right. He says that Jesus never invites us. Jesus never asks us to sit on the sideline and cheer for his cause. Jesus never calls us to sit on the sidelines and cheer for his cause. But you know, most of us are just fans. We're really not followers. And fans, and I know we have some Cowboy fans in here, we got some Ranger fans in here, and you have on all of the garb, you have on all of the stuff, and every time the Cowboys come on, you right in front of the TV, go T.O., I mean, Dez Bryant, go, I will say T.O. But here's the thing with a fan. A fan gets close enough to see the action, but they never get in the game. They never get in the game. But God never invites, he doesn't call us to a game of observation. He calls us into the game of participation. He causes us to get in the game. And so can I tell you this? All of you Bible students, all of you theologians, all of you guys that can parse verbs and exegete texts and all of that's good. But can I tell you this? Sitting on the sidelines, that doesn't help nobody. Sitting on the sidelines, that's not going to save the people that need to be saved in this world. I like what one preacher said on last night, is that our world is in a bad situation. And here we are sitting on the sideline. And so here's what we've become. We've become keepers of the aquarium and not fishers of men. Keepers of the aquarium. Aren't those fish? Hey, let's go and sit around and talk about how good God is amongst each other. But can I tell you what God is inviting you to? What Jesus is inviting his disciples to is to a life of, he's inviting them to a life of participating in something that is just going to blow your mind. Because who would have ever thought? And I tell folks this all the time, and sometimes it some people don't like the way that I say it, but can I say it just the way I feel it? Who would have thought that a hood rat from South Dallas, from Bonton, would be standing here in Grand Prairie, Texas today? A person that left Christ to become a Muslim, For 10 years, I was a Muslim. And you think that I can sit on the sideline and not tell somebody about the goodness of God? I'm too afraid of what God would do to me. He didn't brought me from such a long way that I got to tell somebody. And so that's what I'm inviting you to today. As I take my seat, I'm inviting you to not just be a fan, but to be a follower. And can I close like this? I just have to close like this because I'm talking about fishing. I'm talking about fishing and fishing. And, you know, I'm something like a fisherman, right? I fish every now and then. I'm something like a fisherman. But when I fish, I like to fish for catfish. And they tell me that to catch the best catfish, that if you want to catch the big whoppers, that if you want to catch the bottom feeders, if you want to catch the big bluegill catfish, that you got to use something called blood bait. Somebody know where I'm going with this, right? Somebody know where I'm going with this, right? We have the best bait there is. Not only did Jesus call us to fish, but he gave us the best bait that there is. He gave us his blood. He gave us his life. Not only did he call us to follow him, but he gave us everything that we need. So here's the thing as I leave. Why aren't you fishing? Thank you, sir.